Chapter 6. 20 minutes later, I was on my way. Beauville, deep in the Berkshires, was in peak color, the maples sugar red, the birches gold. But even though the scene was gorgeous and my car, a vintage Pontiac GTO, was purring like a kitten, I couldn't focus on foliage. For starters, I'd promised Albert I'd help him with the raccoon. The animal certainly couldn't help himself. A young male, as I suspected, he'd seemed as healthy as I was, and although that's no guarantee of anything, there were so many other reasons for the young animal's behavior that I couldn't see euthanizing him just to make sure. When I'd gone back to see him, pacing back and forth in one of the pound's large dog cages, I got the complete disorientation of an adolescent out on his own. He'd left home for the first time only a month before. After a few weeks of wandering, and some scrapes with other young males, he'd found what seemed to be the perfect burrow. Warm, high up, and dry, the attic was everything a raccoon could want, and this little creature was smart enough to know it, and to find his way back after being relocated once. What he couldn't understand was his removal. He hadn't even had to fight anyone to get in there. The space was empty. It should have been his. In a just world, it would have been. I didn't want the poor guy to get in any more trouble, though. The condo residents might be city folk, but at some point they'd contact a local, someone other than Albert, who would rid them permanently of the raccoon. I knew the type. Those city folks wouldn't want to see what was done, but they'd be happy the problem was resolved. As I turned onto the highway, pulling directly into the fast lane to avoid the leaf peepers, I decided on a plan of action. I'd drive over to Evergreen Hills later.